Now, live from the historic St. Paul Hotel, WCCO Radio is proud to present this original stage presentation of It's a Wonderful Life.
Christmas carol sung by tonight's cast, and we are almost ready for the big show. Now, I'd like to welcome in our national audience who are listening coast to coast on the app and the Columbia Broadcasting System to all the ships at sea, our sailors, soldiers, marines, and flyers listening all over the world on Armed Forces Radio. America salutes you. Got a delightful evening planned for you tonight, folks. And to start things off, here's the Peabody Award-winning WCCO Radio News with Skip Watson.
Hello, everybody. Skip Watson here at the WCCO St. Paul News Desk with the latest radio news straight from the wire to you. Minneapolis Mayor Hubert Humphrey cut the ribbon yesterday morning at Dayton's department store to officially kick off the Christmas season. Santa Claus arrived with his elves in tow, and the eighth floor of Dayton's has once again been turned into a winter wonderland. Or should I say winter neverland, as this year's theme is Peter Pan and Captain Hook. Dayton's will have their Christmas display open every day from now through New Year's Eve. There is talk that next year the Dayton's Christmas display will open the day after Thanksgiving. But this reporter, for one, thinks that might be rushing the season just a bit. 1946, the year that was. We said goodbye this year to boxing great Jack Johnson, celebrated author H.G. Wells, writers Damon Runyon and Gertrude Stein, and Hall of Fame pitcher Walter Johnson. Farewell, big train, and Godspeed. On a happier note, BBC Radio is back on the air for the first time since the end of the war. So to all of our friends and allies across the pond, we send a hearty cheerio and congratulations, a what? Turning now to sports. Two games on the slate in the National Hockey League last night. The Boston Bruins improved to a 9-6-7 record with a 3-2 win over the New York Rangers in Beantown. In the other game on the schedule, the Chicago Blackhawks were just too good for the struggling Red Wings, edging Detroit 5-2. Eveleth native Frank Brimsek stood on his head, stopping 29 of 31 shots between the pipes for Chicago. Who knows? Maybe someday we'll have a national hockey team based right here in St. Paul. Wouldn't that be wild? As we move toward Christmas and the completion of our first full calendar year since the end of the war, we here in the CCO newsroom thought it might be interesting to take a brief look at figures released today outlining the current cost of living in these United States. Jobs are in short supply at the moment, and if you're lucky enough to have one, you're likely to earn about $2,500 this year. If you feel good about your job and you're thinking of buying a new house, you'd better have in the neighborhood of $5,600 handy. Now, you'll probably want to park a shiny new car in that driveway. That's going to set you back another $1,100 or so, not to mention the 15 cents a gallon for gas. That's right, 15 cents a gallon. Ouch! That's the rising cost of looking good on Main Street, USA, as we inch toward 1947. Now let's take a look at CCO land weather. Continued cold and blustery for the next several months as we make the slow march toward June. Take extra care on those icy roads and bridges as you head through the river and over the woods to grandmother's house this holiday season. If you don't want to slip, stay away from slippery places, I always say. This is Skip Watson reporting. And remember, if you've got good news, you heard it right here on WCCO, the good neighbor to the Northwest. Tonight's news has been brought to you by our sponsor, Lux Home Products.
Are you guilty of careless driving because windshield bug spots dulled your vision?
Yes, I'm guilty.
Stop straining to see through a bug-spattered windshield. Lux Toilet Cake gets the squash bugs off quickly, easily. Yes, even when the sun has baked them in the glass.
Remember, you need clear vision as well as good brakes to avoid accidents. You'll find Lux Toilet Cake leaves the glass polished so crystal clear, you hardly know it's there.
I feel so much safer after I clean my windshield with Lux Toilet Cake. It leaves no dangerous oily film to pick up dust and make night driving difficult.
Lux Toilet Cake, the soap of 100 uses.
It's found in every bathroom from sea to shining sea. It's used by our dear president. It's used by you and me. It washes up cars.
It washes up bars.
It washes up stores.
Lux Toilet Cake.
The toilet cake that saved the world.
Lux Toilet Cake.
The toilet cake that brought our boys home.
Lux Toilet Cake is cleaning up the USA.
Buy a cake of Lux Toilet Soap today. Keep it in your car.
Well, folks, here we go. We've got a fantastic story for you this evening, perfect for this holiday season. We hope you've turned down the lights at your house and are cozying up to the radio, listening by the glow of your fireplace or Christmas trees as tonight. WCCO Radio is proud to present It's a Wonderful Life, live from the St. Paul Hotel. This is the story of none other than George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, New York. George Bailey, who, more than anything under the sun, wanted to see the world, the wonderful and exciting world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his hometown. He's a typical American. He might be you, he might be me. He dreams of glory, he lives in hope, he loves and doubts. He rushes home on Friday nights, and only Providence puts a final value on his service to humanity. Our story starts before the war, when life was simpler. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, WCCO Radio invites you to sit back, relax, and enjoy. Live from the St. Paul Hotel, It's a Wonderful Life.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son George tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God. Something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble?
It looks like we'll have to send someone down, sir. A lot of people are asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
George Bailey. Yes, tonight's his crucial night. You're right. We'll have to send someone down immediately. Whose turn is it?
Now that's why I came to see, sir. It's that clockmaker's turn again.
Oh, Clarence. Hasn't got his wings yet, has he?
We passed him up right along, sir, because, you know, he's got the IQ of a rabbit.
Yes, but he's got the faith of a child. Simple. Joseph, send for Clarence.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No. Worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear. His life. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir. I was reading it when you sent for me.
Yes, yes. Fine book. Excellent. Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now listen carefully, Clarence. When George Bailey was a boy, two events occurred that you should see. One happened when George and his brother Harry were out sledding on the ice.
Yippee!
Who's that?
That's your problem, George Bailey. That's him when he was 12 back in 1919. Something happens here you'll have to remember later on.
And here comes the scare baby, my kid brother, Harry Bailey.
I'm not scared.
Come on down, Harry. You can do it.
Oh, dear. Harry's fallen through the ice.
I'm coming, Harry. Make a chain, gang. A chain. We'll save you, Harry. Hang on.
So his brother fell through the ice, but George saved him.
Yes, Clarence, and ever since, George has had a bad ear. All that icy water, you understand?
Bad ear. Yes, sir.
The other event came a few months later. George had an after-school job at Mr. Gower's drugstore.
It's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Hello, George. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelaces, Violet?
Mary was here first.
I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Oh, well, bye, Georgie. See you later, Mary.
Oh!
Made up your mind yet, Mary?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here. From Tahiti, Fiji Islands, Coral Sea.
What's that you got there? New magazine? Well, I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. Let me get your ice cream.
Is this the ear you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. And I'm going to have a couple of harems and maybe 3 or 4 wives. Wait and see.
George. George.
Yes, sir.
You're not paid to be a canary.
Yes, sir.
What's that George just picked up?
It's a telegram from Mr. Gower. He found out this morning that his son died of influenza.
Oh, how awful.
Yes. He spent the afternoon drowning his grief in whiskey.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
No.
I'll get them, sir. What's this bottle, Mr. Gower?
Never mind that. Take these pills over to Mrs. Blaine's.
Yes, sir. They have the diphtheria there, haven't they, sir?
Uh-huh.
Is it a charge, sir?
Yeah, charge.
Mr. Gower,
what
I think...
What is it?
Yes, sir. Mr. Gower...
Get going.
That bottle you used. You put something wrong in those capsules.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Ow, you're hurting my sore ear.
Did you hear what I said? Now get going.
Ow, Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules. I know you're unhappy. You got that telegram and you're upset. It wasn't your fault, Mr. Gower, but look. You used this bottle to make up those capsules. It's poison.
Poison?
Don't hit my sore ear again.
Oh, George.
All I wanted was to make sure, Mr. Gower. I won't tell anyone. I know what you're feeling. I won't ever tell a soul. Hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George.
Did he ever tell anyone about those pills?
Not a soul.
Did he ever marry the girl? Did he ever go exploring?
We'll get there soon enough, Clarence. Now, when George Bailey grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
George's father was in the building and loan business, along with George's Uncle Billy. High ideals, low bank accounts. George worked for his father, saving enough to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. George got a job on a cattle boat, was ready to do a little traveling before college, so he was out shopping for a suitcase.
How about this, George? An overnight bag. Genuine English cowhide. Combination lock. Fitted up with brushes. Comb.
Nope. Now look, Joe. Now look, I want a big one.
I want you to take a good look at that face, Clarence.
Who is it?
George Bailey.
Oh, you mean the kid that had his ear slapped back by the druggist.
That's the kid.
Well, he's all grown up, eh? It's a good face. I like it. I like George Bailey.
Now look, Joe, it's gotta be big, see? I don't want one for one night. I want something for 1,001 nights. With plenty of room for labels from Italy and Cairo, Samarkand. A great big one.
I see. A flying carpet, huh? I don't suppose you're talking about something like this, are ya?
Now you're talking. Oh, gee whiz, I could use this as a raft in case the boat sunk. How much does this cost?
No charge.
How's that? That's my trick ear, Joe. Sounded as if you said no charge.
That's right.
Hey, what's my name doing on it?
A little present from old man Gower. Came down and picked it out himself.
He did. Well, what do you know about that, my old boss?
What boat you sailing on?
Oh, I'm working across on a cattle boat.
A cattle boat?
It's okay. I like cows. Thanks for everything, Joe!
Bon voyage! Take care of yourself, George!
Where's George off to in such a hurry? And who are those fellows?
He's on his way home. And those are his friends, Ernie the cab driver and Bert the cop.
Hey, Ernie!
Hiya, George!
Hiya, Bert! Hiya, Judge! What's the suitcase for?
Oh, I'm a rich tourist today, fellas. How about driving me home in style, Ernie?
Sure, Your Highness. Hop in the cab. And for the carriage trade, I puts on me hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey. Looks like you're ready to get out of here.
Well, hello, Violet. Say, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
This old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. I'll see you later.
Say, how would you like to,
Yes.
You want to come along, Bert? We'll show you the town.
No, thanks. I think I'll go home. See what the wife's doing.
Family man.
Well, it was the night before George's big trip to Europe. His bags were packed, and he was all set to go.
George! Harry! You're shaking the house down. Stop it!
Oh, let him alone. I wish I was up there with him.
Harry will tear his suit. George! Harry! Come down to dinner this minute. Everything's getting cold, and you know we've been waiting for you. Oh,
you two. Now sit down and have dinner.
Well, I've eaten.
Well, aren't you going to finish dressing for your graduation party? Look at you.
I don't care. It's George's tux. Hey, Pop, can I have the car? I got to take over a lot of plates and things.
What plates?
Well, Mom, I'm chairman of the Eats Committee. We only need a couple dozen.
Oh, no, you don't, Harry. Not my best Haviland.
Oh, let him have the plates, Mother. Boy, oh, boy. It's hard to realize it's my last night in the old Bailey boarding house.
Yeah. We're sure going to miss you, George.
Oh, I'm going to miss you, too, Pop. Say, what's the matter? You look tired.
I had another tussle with old Henry Potter today.
Oh.
I thought when we put him on the board of directors, he'd eat us up on us.
I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway.
Oh, he's a sick man. Frustrated and sick. Sick in his mind. Sick in his soul, if he has one. Hates everybody that has anything he can't have. Hates us, mostly, I guess.
Anyway. Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Sure, help yourself, Harry.
Where are they, in your suitcase?
I'm not taking a tuxedo on a cattle boat, you know?
Right, I'll find them. Hey, why don't you come to dance tonight?
What, and be bored to death?
Well, you couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. Wow, I better hurry. So long, Pop.
So long, son. Hey. No gin tonight, son.
Just a little?
No, sir. Not one drop.
Aw, gee whiz.
Did I act like that when I graduated from high school?
Pretty much. You know, George, wish we could send Harry to college with you. Your mother and I talked it over half the night.
Oh, we have that all figured out. See, Harry will take my job at the building and loan, work there 4 years, then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Well, no younger than I was.
You were born older, George.
How's that?
I say you were born older. I suppose you've decided what you're going to do when you get out of college.
Oh, well, you know, what I've always talked about. Building things, design new buildings, plan modern cities.
Still after that first million before you're 30?
No, I'll settle for half that in cash.
And of course. It's just a hope, but, you know, wouldn't you consider coming back to the building and loan, would you? I know it's early to talk about.
Oh, I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in that shabby little office. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that remark, but, well, this business of nickels and dimes and spending all your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on a length of pipe, I'd go crazy. I want to do something big and something important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way, we are doing something important. Satisfying a fundamental urge for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace. And we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office.
Oh, I know, Dad. I just wish I felt... But I've been hoarding pennies like a miser. See, most of my friends have already finished college. I feel like if I don't get away, I would bust.
Yes, you're right, son. This town's no place to live if you aren't willing to crawl to Potter. You've got talent. I've seen it. You get yourself an education and then get out of here.
Pop, do you want a shock? I think you're a great guy. Say, I think I'm going to go down on Old Main Street. You know, last night in town and all.
Have a good time, son.
Hello, Georgie Porgy.
Oh, hello, Vi.
What gives?
Nothing.
Well, where you going?
Oh, I'll probably end up at the library.
Georgie. Don't you ever get tired of just reading about things?
Yes. What are you doing tonight?
Not a thing.
Are you game, Vi? What do you say we make a night of it?
Oh, I'd love it, Georgie. What'll we do?
Let's go out in the fields and take off our shoes and walk in the grass.
Huh?
Then we can go up to Stewart Lake. It's beautiful up there in the moonlight. We could swim. Then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks, and we'll stay up there the whole night and everybody will be talking. It'll be a terrific scandal.
George, have you gone crazy? Walk in the grass in my bare feet? Why, it's 10 miles up there to Mount Bedford. Okay.
You think just because you... you...
Okay, just forget about the whole thing!
Forget about what, George?
Oh, nothing. Oh, hiya, Marty. I guess it's old home week.
Yeah, I got home from college yesterday. You remember my kid sister Mary, don't you?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Will you walk her home for me?
What, me? Oh, I don't know, Marty. I don't want to be a wet nurse.
Ah, come on, be a sport. Besides, you walking her home will be the thrill of her life.
Hello.
Hi.
Say, you wouldn't mind walking Mary home, would you, George?
Of course not. Is that all right with you, Mary?
Fine by me.
Great, thanks. Mary, tell Ma not to wait up.
You look at me as if you didn't know me.
Well, I don't.
You've passed me on the street almost every day.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. That was a little girl named Mary Hatch. But that wasn't you.
So George walked Mary home. Is that important, Joseph?
I'd say it is. Because even though Mary lived only four blocks away, it took them 2 hours to get there.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Hot dog, Mary. Just like an organ. Gee whiz.
Beautiful.
Oh, you know something. If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
Well, I don't know. I just might. Say, how old are you anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
Oh, no, just right. Your age suits you. Oh, hey, look where we are.
The old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Oh, well, no. Don't you know about dessert houses? You make a wish, and then you throw a rock.
But, George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live in there if I was a ghost. Now, watch this. Hey, not a bad shot, huh? Pretty good shot. Broke a window.
What's your wish, George?
Oh, well, not just one wish, Mary. A whole hatful. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I am going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm going to come back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I am going to build things. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. Then I'm going to build... Oh, hey, what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to throw a rock too. Wow, that's a pretty good shot, Mary. Hey, what'd you wish for?
Oh, no. If I tell you, it may not come true.
Hey, Mary, come on. What do you want, huh? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do, say the word now. I'll throw a lasso around it. And I'll pull it down for you. Say, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon.
I'll take it. Then what?
Then what? Well, you could swallow it. Oh, no, it would all dissolve, you see. And moonbeams. pipes would shoot out of the ends of your fingers and your toes. And am I talking too much here?
Yes. Why don't you just kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Who is that?
Old man Collins on his front porch.
My youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, mister. You come back out here. I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head. You come back out here. Oh! Uncle Billy, what is it? What's wrong?
George, get in the car quick. Your father's had a stroke.
What? Oh, no. I'm sorry, Mary. I gotta go.
George's father died that night, Clarence.
Oh, dear.
So, of course, George couldn't go to Europe. And that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor.
I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months. And it was greatly appreciated. I think that's all we'll need you for, George. Good luck to you at school. I know you're anxious to make a train.
Yes, I have a taxi waiting downstairs.
Mr. Chairman, I claim this institution is not necessary to this town. Therefore, I make a motion to dissolve the building loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
It's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. Why, it was his faith and devotion that are responsible for this organization.
I'll go further than that. I'll say that to the public, Peter Bailey was the building and loan.
Oh, that's fine, Potter, coming from you, considering you probably drove my brother to his grave.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. That's what killed him. Oh, I don't mean any disrespect to him, God rest his soul. He was a man of high ideals, so-called. But ideals without common sense can ruin this town. And what does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey fill their heads with a lot of impossible hooey. Now I say...
Just a minute. Now you hold on here, Mr. Potter. Now you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny ante building and loan, I'll never know. But neither you nor anybody else can say anything against his character, because his whole life was... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy?
You bet that's right.
Yeah, he didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what is wrong with that? Why, here, you're all businessmen here. Doesn't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers? You, what'd you say a minute ago? They had to wait and save their money before they even ought to think of a decent home? Wait? Wait for what? Until their children grow up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that... Do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Now, you just remember this, Mr. Potter. That this rabble you're talking about, well, they do most of the working and the paying and the living and the dying in this community. Is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. To him, people were human beings. But to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
Oh, I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Now, look, I've said too much here. You're the board, and you can do what you want with this thing. No. Just one more thing, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place for people to go without crawling to Potter. Now, come on, Uncle Billy.
Sentimental hogwash! I want my motion!
There, just coming out of the board meeting, I'll have to call you back.
What happened, George? All we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, Matilda, you should have heard George.
Oh, yeah, they're voting us down in there.
George, get out of here. You missed your boat trip. You want to miss college, too? Don't worry about the board. They're putting us out of business, so what? I can get another job. I'm only 55.
You're 58.
George, they voted Potter down. We're still in business. We're still in business.
Well, wait, we're still in business.
There's only one condition. Only one condition.
What's that?
That's the best part of it. They've appointed George here as executive secretary to take his father's place.
Oh, no, but Uncle Billy.
You can keep him on. That's all right. As secretary, you can hire anyone you like.
Dr. Campbell, now let's get this thing straight. I'm leaving. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to college. This is my last chance. Uncle Billy here, he's your man.
But George, they'll vote with Potter otherwise.
I know. George didn't go.
That's right. Not only that, but he gave his school money to his brother Harry and sent him to college. Harry became a football star, made second team All-American.
Yes, but what happened to George? And what happened to that good-looking girl? You know, Mary?
George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went away to school, too. Anyway, George waited 4 years more for Harry to come back, take over the building and loan. Then he could still see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields of Venezuela.
Billy, you know what the three most wonderful sounds on earth are?
Mm-hmm. Breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner is served.
No. Anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. Oh, right. You are absolutely the worst. Right. Oh, here comes the professor now.
Well, if it isn't George Geographic Explorer Bailey. Uncle Billy, you haven't changed a bit.
Nobody ever changes around here, you know that.
Boy, am I glad to see you, Harry.
See, where's Mother?
Oh, she's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
No, wait. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Well, I wired you. I had a surprise. Here she is. Meet the wife.
Well, what do you know, wife?
Well, how do you do? What am I doing? Congratulations. Harry, why don't you tell somebody? Say, what's a pretty girl like you doing marrying this two-headed brother of mine?
Well, I'll tell you, it's purely mercenary. Oh. My father offered him a job.
Oh, Harry gets you and a job? His cup runneth over. Come on, Ruth, let's start ahead. We'll leave the bags for the fellas.
All right.
Georgie, about that job, now, Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and, well, I won't let you down. Although I would like to... Hey, I forgot the bags. I'll be right back.
Oh, of course, I heard Harry speak of you, Uncle Billy. And you look just as I pictured you.
Well, I want to tell you what. We are going to give you the biggest party this town ever saw. Ooh. Isn't that right, George?
What's that?
A party! Oh, a party!
Yeah, a party, sure. Yeah.
George. That's all Harry ever talks about.
Ruth, what about this job?
Oh, well, my father owns a glass factory in Buffalo. He wants to get Harry started in the research business.
Is it a good job?
Oh, yes, very. Well, not much money, but a good future, you know. Harry's just a genius at research. My father just fell in love with him.
And you did, too.
I sure did.
Did Harry take that job?
Yes, he did. And that night, the homecoming for Harry became his wedding party. Uncle Billy familiarized himself with the spirits.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I feel so good. I could spit butter tonight. I think I will. What do you say? Uh-huh. Maybe I should just go home, huh?
Uh-huh.
You just point me in the right direction.
Right down there.
That way, huh? Okay, old Billy and old pal. We'll see you later. My wild Irish roll. I'm all right.
George?
I'm out here on the porch, Mother. I just thought I'd get some air.
Well, how do you like the new sister-in-law?
Oh, she's swell.
Looks like she'll keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, keep him out of Bedford Falls, anyway.
George, do you know that Mary Hatch is back from school?
Yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Yeah.
Oh, you stop your grumbling. You give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam is crazy about her.
Oh, well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Well, I've got eyes, don't I? She lights up like a firefly whenever you come into the room. And besides, Sam is away in New York, and you're right here in Bedford Falls.
Oh, and all's fair in love and war.
I don't know about war.
All right, Mother. I think I'll go out and find the girl, do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Bye, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, say, you want any books from the library?
The library? George! You go see Mary, you hear?
Hello, George!
Oh! Hello, Mary! I just happened to be passing by!
Your mother just spoke and said you were on your way over to pay me a visit!
My mother just called you? But how did she know? I didn't tell anybody. I just went for a walk, and I happened to be passing by. I just went for a walk, that's all. When'd you get back?
Tuesday. Would you like to come in?
Well, I guess, since I'm here. Say, where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right. I thought you'd go back to New York with Sam and Francie and the rest of them.
Oh, I worked there a couple of vacations, but I don't know. I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Yes, and my family and everything. would you like to sit down?
Well, all right. For a minute. I still can't understand it. I didn't tell anybody I was coming over here.
Would you rather leave?
Oh, no. I don't want to be rude. Well, I see it still smells like pine needles in here.
Thank you. It was nice about Harry and Ruth, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's all right.
Well, don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about, huh?
No, marriage is okay for Harry and Sam Wainwright, your brother Marty, and you and...
Harry! Mary! Who's down there with you? It's George Bailey, Mother!
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know!
What do you want, George?
Me? Not a thing. I just came in here to get warm.
Some music. Let me put on a record. Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Come out tonight.
What are you singing
for? Buffalo Gals, won't you come out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, your mother needed... You know, I didn't come here to
What did you come here for?
I don't know. You tell me. You're supposed to be the one who has all the answers. You tell me.
Why don't you just go home?
That's where I'm going. I don't know why I came here in the first place. Good night.
Good night!
Hello? Mary! The telephone! It's Sam! I'll get it!
Hello, Sam.
I forgot my hat.
Oh, hee-haw. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Aw, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
Oh, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam. There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
You mean old Mossback George?
Yes, old Mossback George.
Hee-haw, put him on!
Wait a minute, I'll call him. George!
He doesn't want to speak to George, you idiot!
He does so. He asked for him. George, Sam wants to speak to you.
Hello, Sam.
Well, George Baileyovsky. Hey, a fine pal you are. What are you trying to do, steal my girl?
What do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal any... Here's Mary.
Yeehaw! Oh, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
We can both hear you. George, just put your head a little closer.
Okay.
There, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
I got a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, you remember that night at Martini's Bar when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Huh? Soybeans. Yeah.
Well, my father checked into it, George, see? And now he's gonna build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Rochester? Well, why Rochester?
Well, why not? Can you think of anything better?
I don't know. What about right here in Bedford Falls? You remember that old tool and machinery works? You tell your father he can get that for a song, and all the labor he wants, too. Half the town was thrown out of work when they closed down.
That's so. Well, I'll tell him. Hey, that sounds great. Oh, baby, I knew you'd come through. Now, here's the point. Mary, you're in on this, too. Now, listen. Have you got any money?
Money? Yeah, well, a little.
Well, now, listen. I want you to put every cent you got into our stock, you hear? And, George, I may have a job for you. That is, unless you're still married to that old broken-down building and loan. This is the biggest thing since radio, and I'm letting you in on the ground floor. Oh, Mary? Mary?
I'm here.
Will you tell that guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime, you hear? The chance of a lifetime!
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Give me that phone! Now, you listen to me. I don't want any plastics, I don't want any ground floors, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're... And you're... Oh, Mary, Mary!
George? George?
Mary! Mary!
So, where are you two kids going on this here honeymoon, huh?
Where are we going? Look at this. There's the kitty, Ernie. $2,000. Here, come on, count it, Mary.
I feel like a bootlegger's wife with all this money.
We're going to shoot the works, Ernie. A whole week in New York, a whole week in Bermuda, the highest hotels, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
So, you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
Then what, honey?
After that, who cares?
That does it. Hot dog. I haven't kissed you
since... Hey, George. George, look over there at the bank. There's something funny going on. It looks like a run.
Huh? Pull over a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's just go straight to the station.
Now, wait a minute. I better go see what this is. But I'll be right back.
George, please. George!
In a few moments, we'll return with the second act of It's a Wonderful Life. But first, gentlemen, does your hair resemble a dried-out bird's nest full of dandruff flakes? Do you plaster your hair down like a cheap gigolo smelling to high heaven?
Pew!
What a stink!
When girls get a gander at the tip-top of your noggin, do they go...
Ew!
Well, here's a friendly hint that may just help you out in the romance department. Starting tomorrow, why not try Kreml Hair Tonic? Yes, sirree. You'll be heading for success with Kreml-groomed hair. A success with the gals. And on the job. Kreml always keeps hair looking mighty attractive. Always in place. A real sex appealer.
Meow.
Kreml Hair Tonic does lots more than keep your hair handsome looking.
Kreml, the swank hair tonic, baby.
makes your filthy bird nest clean.
A little dab will do ya.
Dames will flock right to ya.
All the pretty girls will scream.
When you wear Cramel, the swag hair tonic, dandruff will be history. Make it Cramel, the swag hair tonic.
Buy some Cramel today. Your hair will thank you.
Keep a-doing what you're doing. Keep your radio tuned to WCCO. WCCO.
AM 830, St. Paul in Minneapolis.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true.
Happy holiday, happy holiday. May your calendar keep ringing happy holidays to you.
If you're burdened down with trouble and you need a place to dwell, bring your friends to the capital city and come to the St. Paul Hotel.
It's the place where dignitaries from Roosevelt to Al Nobel hang their hats and shoes and spats right here at the St. Paul Hotel.
Overflowing with old world charm, your home away from home. You won't find a nicer place from Gay Paris to Rome.
If you're needing someplace special for your beau or for your belle,
memories to last a lifetime await at the St. Paul Hotel.
Happy holiday, happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true.
Happy holiday.
And now, a word from our broadcast partner, Spare Key.
Hey, Jaspo. Once again, it's a season for giving, and in honor of the 15th anniversary of It's a Wonderful Life, I'll bet you want to make a donation to Spare Key.
That's right, Freddie. 2 years ago, you taught me all about the metaphor of Spare Key. And today, I have my donation right here, and I just need to know where to put it.
You put it in one of the houses on the table.
If there are houses on the tables, they must be pretty big tables.
No, Jaspo. Spare Key has put lots of houses on the tables in the ballroom. 23, in fact.
Spare Key has 23 ballrooms with gigantic tables with houses on them?
No, Jaspo. The houses on the tables are facsimiles.
First we had metaphors, and now we have facsimiles?
Spare Key provides financial assistance to families throughout the Midwest and elsewhere who have a family member facing a serious medical crisis.
No matter the illness, no matter the injury, no matter the income, they help families bounce and not break.
Make a donation right now in the Spare Key house on your table, or you can also scan the QR code right on the house to make a donation instantly online.
Jaspo, if you're confused about the houses, why not give your donation directly to Eric Mishy, the executive director of Spare Key?
Do you know him?
Of course I know him.
What's he like?
He likes donations to Spare Key.
Spare Key, Spare Key, this holiday season think of Spare Key. Please make a donation for goodness sake. We help families bounce and not break.
There are indeed many thousands of brave American servicemen and women stationed all over the globe tonight. And we know that all of them would like nothing more than to be home with their families for the holidays. We also recognize that most of them are not going to get that wish. So we thought we'd send a little musical Christmas card from all of us here to all of them out there. And folks, if you are listening at home, please slide your chair over a little closer to the radio. Sing as loud as you possibly can. I guarantee you, they will hear you. Home safe.
We now return to WCCO's Playhouse of the Air and tonight's live broadcast of It's a Wonderful Life. Well, we're back in heaven again, where the Superintendent of Angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to Earth.
Poor George Bailey is in desperate trouble, Joseph. I'll head down at once.
Well, sit down, Clarence, sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey is thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
Oh, take a look. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1933. Outside the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Hello, everybody. Mrs. Thompson, how are you? Charlie, what's the matter? Can't you get in? Well, I got the keys right here. Now, come on in, everybody. No, that's right. Just come in. Now, look, why don't y'all sit down? There's a lot of seats over there. Just make yourselves at home. Say, what is this, Uncle Billy? A holiday?
George, can I see you a minute? In your office.
Sure. Why didn't you call me?
I just did, but they said you left. This is a pickle, George. This is a pickle.
All right, now, what happened? How did it start?
How does anything like this ever start? All I know is the bank called our loan.
When?
An hour ago. I had to hand over all our cash.
All of it?
Every cent of it. It's still less than we owe.
Holy mackerel.
Then I got scared, George, and closed the door.
The whole town's gone crazy.
Don't I know it. This telephone. Yes, hello. Bailey, Billigan. George, it's Potter.
Hello?
George, there's a rumor around town. You've closed your doors. Are you all right? Do you need any police?
Police? What for?
Well, mobs get pretty ugly sometimes, you know. George, I've just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They'll close them for a week and then reopen.
He just took over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares, and I'll pay them 50 cents on the dollar.
Boy, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen.
George, was it a nice wedding? Gosh, I wanted to remember to be there.
Yeah, it was. Well, I guess I'd better go talk to them.
Better you than me.
Hey, here comes George. Hey, George.
Now, just remember, this thing is not as black as it appears. I have some news for you, folks. I just talked to Old Man Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments at the bank. Bank's gonna reopen next week.
But, George, I got my money here. Did he guarantee this place?
Well, no, Tom. I didn't even ask him. We don't need Potter over here.
Then I'll take mine now.
Oh, no, but you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe.
The money's not here. Your money is in Joe's house, right next to yours, and the Kennedy house, and Mrs. Macklin's house, and 100 others. Why, you're lending them the money to build, and then they're going to pay you back as best they can. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anyone.
Okay, Tom. All right. Here you are. You sign this. You'll get your money in 60 days.
What? 60 days?
Well, now, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
Tom, did you get your money? Well, I did. Old man Potter will pay 50 cents on the dollar for every share you got.
Cash?
Yes, cash.
Well, George, what do you say?
Well, now, Tom, you have to stick to your original agreement. Now, give us 60 days on this.
Okay, Randall, I guess I'm going with you.
Are you going to Potter's then?
Better to get half than nothing.
Tom, I don't really Tom, have a choice. Randall, wait, listen to me. Listen to me. I beg of you not to do this thing. If Potter gets hold of this building and loan, there'll never be another decent house built in this town. But he's already got charge of the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he is after us. And why? Well, it's very simple, because we're cutting in on his business, that's why. And because he wants to keep you living in his slums, paying the kind of rent he decides. Nick, you lived in one of his houses, didn't you? Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken-down shack? Here, Tom, remember last year when things weren't going so well and you couldn't make your payments? You didn't lose your house, did you? You think Potter would let you keep it? I mean, don't you see what's happening here? Can't you understand what's happening? Potter isn't selling. Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicky and he's not. That's why he's picking up some bargains. Now, look, we can get through this thing all right, but we have got to stick together, though. We have got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money. How am I going to live?
I need cash. Can't feed my kids on faith.
I'm sorry, George.
How much do you need? I've got some money right here.
Hey, Mary, I've got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This'll tide us over until the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
Oh, Tom, just enough to tide you over till the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
There you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay, all right. Nick.
I got $300 here, Judge.
Oh, now, Nick, what'll it take till the bank reopens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose $50?
$50. Now you're talking fine. Thank you, Nick.
Sure.
All right, now, Mrs. Thompson, how much do you want?
Oh, but it's your own money, George.
Never mind about that. How much do you want?
Well, let's see then. Could I have, could I have $17.50? We'll do it.
Bless your heart.
Boy.
Of course you can have it. You got 50 cents?
Seven.
Now pay me back whenever you can. All right. Who's next?
I'm next, George.
Look at the clock. Look, we're going to make it, George. They'll never close us up today.
5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1. 6 o'clock. We made it.
Whoopee.
Lock that door, Uncle Billy.
You betcha.
Boy, we're still in business, and we've even got $2 left. We're a couple of financial wizards.
Better than the Rockefellers.
A toast. A toast to Papa Dollar and to Mama Dollar. And if you want the building and loan to stay in business, you better have a family real quick. Okay, let's put them in the safe and see what happens.
Hey, George, let's light up a couple of your wedding cigars.
Wedding? Holy mackerel, I'm married. Where's Mary? Oh, I've got a train to get. Oh, the train's gone, but I wonder if Ernie's still here with his taxi cab.
George, there's a call for you.
Look, will you get my wife on the phone? She's probably over at her mother's.
Mrs. Bailey is on the phone.
I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey is my wife. I will take it in here. Mary, yeah, hello. Listen, dear, I'm sorry. What? Come home. What home? 320 Sycamore? Well, what? Whose home is that? The Waldorf Hotel. Huh.
Well, that doesn't look like the Waldorf.
Oh, no. For number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house. The one George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes. With Ernie and Bert's help, Mary had prepared the house, including a turkey dinner, romantic decorations, even a marriage bed.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
I love you truly, truly, dear. Life with its shadows, life with its tears.
Well, I'll be. Mary, where did you? Oh, Mary.
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house?
I love you.
This is what I wish.
Truly, dear.
Oh, Mary, darling, you are wonderful.
So that's where they spent the honeymoon?
Yes, sir. That's where they started their lives together. Mary made the leaky old house a home, while George toiled away at the billing and loan office, providing houses for people like Giuseppe Martini.
Hey, Martini, you renting a new house?
Rent? You hear that, Mr. Bailey? I own this house. Me, Giuseppe Martini, I own my own house. No more we live like pigs in Potter's Field.
We have something for you and your family, Mr. Martini. George and I bring something for all the new owners.
For the Martinis? Maria, come quick. Our first housewarming gifts. Bring her the kids.
Bread, so that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini Castle!
That's old George Bailey-Ofsky, always making a speech. Yeehaw!
Sam Wainwright!
We just stopped in town to take a look at the new factory. Then we're going to drive on down to Florida.
Sam, I have an idea. Why don't you have your friends join us?
George, Mary, this is Jane.
Why, sure. Why don't you kids drive down with us, huh?
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't get away, Sam.
Still got the notes of the old grindstone, eh? Jane, I offered to let George in on the ground floor in plastics. He turned me down cold.
Oh, now, don't rub it in.
I'm not rubbing it in. Well, I guess we better be rubbing along. Yeehaw!
Awfully glad to have met you, Mary.
Nice meeting you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, George.
So long, George. We'll see you in the funny papers.
Goodbye, Sam.
Have fun.
And thanks for dropping around.
We're off to Florida.
Hee-haw!
Yeah. Hee-haw.
The Martinis weren't the only ones to get a new home. Bailey houses were popping up all over the place, mostly owned by people that used to live in Potter's Field. Potter had just about enough of that. So one day, Mr. Potter decided to call our George into his office.
Sit down, George. You have a cigar?
Thank you, sir. Quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
You like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about?
George, now that's just what I like about you. George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey Building and Loan. And that for a number of years, I've been trying to get control of it. Or kill it. But I haven't been able to. In fact, you've beaten me, George, and that takes some doing. Take during the Depression. You and I were the only ones who kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, I've stated my side very frankly. Let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week?
45.
45.
45.
45. Yeah, 45. Out of which, after supporting your mother, you're able to keep, say, 10 if you skimp. Child or two comes along, you won't even be able to save the 10. Well, now, if this young man of 28 was a common ordinary yokel, I'd say he was doing fine. But George Bailey is not a common ordinary yokel. He's an intelligent, smart, ambitious young man who hates his job. Who hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. A young man, the smartest one of the crowd, mind you. A young man who has to watch his friends go places because he's trapped. Trapped into frittering his life away, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? You sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey, the building and loan, remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has brains enough to climb a barn.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Get a deal or in there?
Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it?
Oh, sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Yeah, I'd like that.
In the meantime, I'll drop the papers. Okay, George?
Okay, Mr. Potter.
And soon you'll be managing my affairs.
No. Now, wait a minute here. I don't have to talk to anybody. I know right now, and the answer is no. No! Doggone it! You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing more than a scurvy little spider.
What did Mr. Potter want, George?
Oh, nothing. Just talk, nothing. Oh, gee, Mary Hatch, why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was going to see the world. I was going to build things. I promised you the moon. And what have I given you, huh? What have I given you? Not even a new dress, not for months. You could have married Sam Wainwright, anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
You didn't even have a honeymoon. I promised you a honeymoon, and you... What did you say?
My baby.
Mary! You mean you're on the nest?
George Bailey lassos stork.
Well, Mary had her baby, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down hard. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then, but still had time to run the USO. Mr. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Violet entertained the troops. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa, got the Silver Star. Ernie the taxi driver parachuted into France. Harry Bailey topped them all. A Navy flyer shot down 15 planes. Two of them as they're about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
Yes, but what about George?
George? 4F on account of his ear. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls. Air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. On VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you have to know about George Bailey. Except what happened that finds him down there at this moment, wanting to die.
Well, sir, well?
Well, today's Christmas Eve, and Uncle Billy is at the bank to make a deposit when he runs into Mr. Potter.
Well, 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 Mr. Henry F. Bottom. Come to the bank to deposit some on low, Tom.
Out of the way, you old fool.
Have you seen the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal of Honor. You just can't keep those Bailey boys down now, can you?
Let me see that.
Here you go. I'm sorry, I can't chat, you old thief. I've got to make a deposit.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Oh, good morning, Horace. Here you are. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
What's that?
You want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where did I put it? Where did I put that money?
Terrible thing, Clarence.
Oh, terrible.
Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in that newspaper he gave to Mr. Potter. The same time as Uncle Billy started looking for the deposit, Violet came to visit George at the building and loan.
Oh, hello, Vi.
I suppose you're getting things set back at the house for your Christmas party tonight.
You know, you're invited.
Yeah.
Say, what's wrong?
Oh, you see right through me, don't you?
How much do you need?
Oh, I hate to do this to you, George, but I won't be asking for any more after this.
You planning on robbing a bank, Vi?
I'm going to Manhattan.
What's in Manhattan?
Why, everything's in Manhattan. A new start, at least.
Oh, that's a big step, Vi. What's the matter with starting a new life right here in Bedford Falls?
Well, I'll be. I never thought I'd hear that from you, George Bailey. I thought you hated this place.
I did, but, well, this town has a charm all its own.
You should give tours, maybe.
I'm just thinking of you, Violet. Manhattan is a big place to take on your own.
Well, I've made a decision. There's a midnight train tonight, and I plan to be on it.
It takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again. Here's some dough.
Oh, no, George, don't.
Oh, what do you want to do? You want to hock your furs in that hat? You want to walk to New York? They charge for meals and rent up there just the same as they do in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
It's a loan. That's my business, building and loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Say hello to New York for me.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, Violet.
George!
Uncle Billy, what's going on? The bank examiner's here.
He's here?
Yeah. He wants the accounts payable. Say, what is the matter with you?
The money. The $8,000.
What, Uncle Billy? What happened to it?
I don't know. I was going to deposit it, and when I went to the bank, I didn't have it.
$8,000, Uncle Billy? The bank examiner is waiting in our office. It's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
I'm so sorry, George. I just don't know what happened.
Well, the first place you look is in your coat pocket. I told you to put it in there before you left.
I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Well, let's go then. We have to retrace your steps. We'll leave no stone unturned.
But, George, I did that. I looked everywhere. I went back and retraced every single step. It's gone.
Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Think. Try and think.
I can't think anymore. I can't. I'm sorry, George. It's really gone.
We need that money, you silly, stupid old fool. We need it. Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me. Now you get out of my way, George.
George, dear, what's wrong? You haven't said a word since you came home.
Well, the banging on the piano. Does Janie have to keep playing that same piece over and over and over again?
Well, I have to practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
What is it, dear? Another hectic day?
Oh, yeah, another red-letter day for the Baileys.
Did you bring the wreath?
Did you bring the Christmas wreath?
What? What wreath?
The Merry Christmas wreath for the window?
No, I left it at the office.
Is it snowing?
Yeah.
Where's your coat and hat?
I left them at the office.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. Everything is all right.
Better hurry and shave. The families will be here soon.
Families? I don't want the families over here.
It's you me.
Dick, the Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't that good enough for you?
Yes,
you mean?
Excuse you for what?
I burped.
You're excused, Tommy. Run upstairs, Pete. See if Zuzu's all right.
Okay, Mom.
Zuzu? What's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she's got a cold. She's in bed. Caught it coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it? Sore throat or what?
George, the doctor says it's nothing serious.
The doctor? The doctor was here?
Well, I thought he'd better take a look at her.
In this old house? I don't know why we don't all have pneumonia. Why do we have to... Might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Kid, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know. Ask your mother.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to see Zuzu.
Ha-choo! Oh, hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
Where do you think you're going?
I want to give my flower a drink.
Here, give Daddy the flower. I'll give it a drink.
Oh, look, Daddy. Some of the petals came off. Paste it.
Yeah, all right, now I'll just paste this together. Oh, there it is. It's as good as new.
Now give the flower a drink.
Now, will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
I know, but, well, you just go to sleep. And then you can dream about it. It'll be a whole garden.
It will?
Uh-huh.
Telephone!
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Squelch. The doctor said she'll be out of bed in time for her Christmas dinner.
Who's that?
Zuzu's teacher. What? Oh, yes, the doctor said she would be fine tomorrow.
Give me that phone.
Please.
Mrs. Welch? Yeah, this is George Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that half naked? You realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia just because of your stupidity?
Yeah.
Is this the sort of thing that we pay taxes for? To have teachers like you? Silly, stupid, careless people send our kids home without any clothes on? You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids. Maybe they don't have enough decent clothes, but that's
not reasonable. Give me that. Hello, Mrs. Welch. I want to apologize. Hello? Hello? She's hung up.
Hang her up.
Not just who in the Sam Hill do you think you're talking to?
Wait a minute. Hello, who is this? Oh, Mr. Welch. Okay, that's fine, Mr. Welch. Gives me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
Sure.
Will you get out of here and let me handle this? Hello? Oh, you will, huh? Okay, Mr. Welch. That's fine. Anytime you think you're man enough. Hello? Hello?
Kid, how do you spell hallelujah?
How should I know? What do you think I am? A dictionary? Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You've played it over and over again. Now stop it. Stop it!
What is wrong?
Mary, I'm sorry. Janie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology, too. I'm sorry. What did you want to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
Well, what's the matter with everybody? Janie, I told you to practice. Now you go on and play!
George, why must you torture the children? Why don't you...
Mary, Mary, I'm sorry. I don't...
Operator, Bedford 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie. Pray very hard.
Me too?
You too, Tommy. Hello, Uncle Billy?
So that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in the books, eh?
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help. through some sort of an accident, my company is short in their accounts. The bank examiner is up there today. I've got to raise $8,000 immediately.
Oh, so that's what the reporters wanted to talk to you about.
The reporters?
Oh, there's a man from the DA's office looking for you, too.
Help me, Mr. Potter, won't you please? Can't you see what it means to my family? I'll pay you any sort of a bonus on the loan, any interest. Why, if you still want the building and loan, I should...
George, could it be there's a slight discrepancy in the books?
No, sir. No, there's nothing wrong with the books. I've just misplaced $8,000. I can't find it anywhere.
You misplaced it?
Yes, sir.
Did you notify the police?
No, sir. I didn't want the publicity. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
What have you been doing? Playing the market with the company's money?
No, sir. No, sir, I haven't.
What is it, old woman? You know, it's all over town that you've been giving money to Violet Vick.
What?
Why did you come to me? Why don't you go to your good friend, Sam Wainwright?
I can't get hold of him. He's in Europe.
Well, what about all your other friends?
Well, they don't have that kind of money, Mr. Potter. You know that. You're the only one in town that can help me.
I see. Well, I've suddenly become quite important. What kind of security would I have, George? Have you got any stocks?
No, sir.
Bonds, real estate, collateral of any kind?
I have some life insurance, a $15,000 policy.
How much is your equity in it?
$500.
Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man? Miserable little clerk, crawling in here on your hands and knees and begging for help. No securities, no stocks, no bonds. Nothing but a miserable little $500 equity in a life insurance policy. Why, you're worth more dead than alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them to let you have $8,000? You know why? Because they'd run you out of town on a rail. But I'll tell you what I am going to do for you, George. Since the state examiner is still here, as a stockholder of the building loan, I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds.
Mr. Potter,
manipulation.
Please, you can't. They'll arrest me.
Go out and run! You can't hide in a little town like this. Merry Christmas, George!
And all the time, Potter had the $8,000 hidden in his own desk drawer.
But where's George, sir? Where?
He's at Martini's bar. He's had a couple of drinks, Clarence. He's just sitting there.
Well, what's he saying? Who's he with?
Shh, 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 shh.
Oh, God, dear Father in heaven, I am not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, please show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope, God. Please show me the way, God.
Mr. Bailey, you all right? Why you drinking so much, my friend? Mr. Bailey, you don't feel so good, huh?
Bailey? Did you say Bailey? Which Bailey?
Well, this gentleman is Mr. Bailey.
Mr. George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh?
Sure.
And the next time you talk to my wife like that, she'll get worse. It isn't bad enough she has to teach your stupid kids to read and write. You gotta call her up and ball her out, don't you?
Oh.
Huh? Get out of here, Mr. Welch. Oh, all right.
Oh,
all right.
Oh,
you ain't my best friend. Now get out.
Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who was that?
Mr. Welch, but don't worry. He don't come in this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's bleeding.
Oh, where's my insurance policy? Oh, here.
Oh, no. Please don't go this way,
no,
Mr. Bailey.
I'm all right.
No, you don't feel so good. Please don't go with me.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Clarence, it's time.
Now?
Yes, are you ready? He's at the river right now on the bridge.
Already, sir.
Very well. Save George Bailey's life. And you'll get your wings.
My wings? Oh, thank you, Joseph. George! George Bailey! Get away from that bridge! Do you hear me, George? George! Help! Help me! I can't swim!
Are you two all right? Do you need a doctor?
No, I'm all right.
No, I'm fine. This underwear, I didn't have time to get anything stylish. My wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
Passed away?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer is drying out, too.
Oh.
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me. You should read the new book Mark Twain is working on.
How'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
You jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yes, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven.
What?
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you would try to save me, and see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Oh, that's very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah, I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
How do you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
Oh, no.
Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody. AS2.
Oddbody. AS2. What's that AS2?
Angel. Second class.
Hey, I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why'd you want to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money? $8,000?
Oh, yeah, just things like that. Say, how'd you know that?
Well, I told you. I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look like about the kind of angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wing?
Oh, I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Oh, I don't know whether I like it very much, being seen with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure. How?
By letting me help you.
You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you?
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. It comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
Now, I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. Oh, look, little fella, will you just go off and haunt somebody else?
No, you don't understand. I've got a job to do.
Shut up, will ya?
This isn't going to be easy.
They'd all be better off if I hadn't been born.
What did you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Wait a minute. That's an idea. What do you think, Joseph? Yes, that'll do it. All right, George, you've got your wish. You've never been born.
What did you say?
You just gave me a wonderful idea. You've got your wish. You've never been born. Well, you don't have to make all that racket about it.
Never been born?
Exactly. You don't exist. You haven't a care in the world. No $8,000 to get nothing. You simply don't exist.
Hey, wait a minute. This ear of mine, see something else in that ear?
Well, sure, you can hear out of it.
Well, that's the doggondest thing. Haven't heard anything out of this ear since I was a kid. Must have been that jump in the cold water.
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Your lips stop bleeding too, George. Don't you see? You're not the George Bailey you think you are. You're nobody.
Well, what do you know about that? What's happened? Oh, I need a drink. That's what I need. What about you, Angel? You want a drink?
Well, I don't know.
Come on. We'll go as soon as our clothes are dry.
Our clothes are dry.
Hey, so they are. That stove's hotter than I thought. Well, look, let's get dressed, and then we'll stroll over to Martini's and... Oh, excuse me. I'll stroll, you fly.
Oh, but I haven't got my wings.
Oh, you haven't got your wings. That's right. A couple of drinks and we'll both fly.
Let me see.
Yeah, there's a place to sit down. Sit down, Clarence. Welcome to the best bar in Bedford Falls.
Bedford Falls? Don't you mean Pottersville?
Pottersville? Oh, hello, Nick. Where's Martini?
You want a martini?
No, Martini, your boss. Where is he?
Look, I'm the boss. You want a drink, don't you?
Okay, all right. Double bourbon, quick, huh?
Okay, what's yours?
I was just thinking. It's been so long since I've been...
Hey, I'm standing here waiting for you to make up your mind.
Oh, that's good, man. I was just thinking of a flaming rum punch. No, wait a minute. I've got it. Mulled wine. Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, me lad, and be lively.
Look, mister, we serve hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast. We don't need a couple of characters hanging around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear? Do I need to slip you my right for a convincer?
What's he talking about?
Nick, just give him the same as mine. He's okay.
Okay.
What's the matter with him? I never saw Nick act like that before.
You'll see a lot of strange things from now on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, little fella, you worry me. You got someplace to sleep?
No.
You don't, huh? You got any money?
No.
No wonder you jumped in that river.
I jumped in the river to save you so I could get my wings.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, somebody's just made it.
Made what?
Every time you hear a bell ring, it means that some angel's just got his wings.
What did you say?
Look, Clarence, I don't think you better talk about getting your wings around here.
Why not? Don't they believe in angels?
They believe in them, you
then
know.
Then why should people be surprised when they see one?
Look, what's he yapping about?
Don't mind him, Nick. He never grew up. Say, how old are you anyway, Clarence?
293. Next May.
That does it. Out you two pixies go. Through the door or out the window.
But where's Martini? Look, Nick, what's wrong?
That's another thing. Where do you come off calling me Nick?
Well, Nick, that's your name, isn't it?
What's that got to do with it? I don't know you from Adam's Orphox. Well,
look who crawled out from whatever hole he's been hiding under. Hey, it's Mr. Gower.
Hey, you, Rummy. Didn't I tell you never to come panhandling around here?
Mr. Gower, this is George Bailey. Don't you know me?
Will you buy me a drink, mister? Just one little drink.
Binky, throw the Rummy out.
You got it. Well,
hey, Nick, isn't that Mr. Gower, the druggist?
You know, that's another reason for me not to like you. That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning a kid. If you know him, you're probably a jailbird yourself. Binky, would you show these gentlemen to the door?
Right this way, gentlemen.
Get out! Get out and stay out!
Hey, get me. I'm giving out wings.
Here, George, let me help you up. The snow's quite cold.
What's wrong with Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, George, you weren't there to stop Mr. Gower from putting that poison into
what
that
do you mean I wasn't there? I remember distinctly. Look, what's going on around here? Look, who are you?
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Yeah, I know you told me that, but what else are you? What are you, a hypnotist?
No, of course not.
Well, then why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Oh, then if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean, no identity? My name is George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards, no insurance policy. Oh, they're not there either.
What?
Zuzu's petals. Some petals fell off her flower. You told her you'd fix it and stuff the petals in your pocket. But they're gone, too. Everything is gone. You've been given a great gift, George. The chance to see what the world would be like if you had never been born.
You're crazy. You're crazy as a bedbug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now, look, you. I'm going home to my wife and family. You understand that? And I am going home alone.
Home? What home? You have no home.
How am I doing, Joseph? Oh, well, thank you. No, I did not have a drink.
You know the drill. Hands behind your back, sister.
Keep your hands off me. Why don't you arrest someone else for a change?
Hey, officer, where did the building and loan move to?
The building and what?
The Bailey Building and Loan. It was right there.
Oh, they went out of business years ago, and all that's left is this burlesque house.
Hey, not so fast, Kappa. I know Potter.
Hey, Violet. Hey, listen, officer, that's Violet Vick. I know that girl.
Who doesn't? Now get out of our way.
Taxi! Hey, Ernie. Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Where do you live?
Oh, doggone it, Ernie. Don't you start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore.
Okay. 320 Sycamore?
Yeah. Hurry up. Zuzu is sick.
All right.
Look here, Ernie. Straighten me out here. I got some bad liquor or something. Now listen to me. Now you are Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid. Now, that's right, isn't
it? You seen my wife?
Seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times.
Look, bud, what's the idea, huh? I live in a shack in Potter's Field. And my wife ran away 3 years ago and took the kid. And I ain't never seen you before in my life.
Okay, well, just step on it. Just get me home.
Is this the place?
Well, of course it's the place.
Why, this house ain't been lived in for 25 years.
Mary? Mary, I'm home! Pete, Tommy, Jane, Zuzu, where are you?
They're not here, George. You have no children.
Where are they, Clarence? What have you done with them?
All right, you two. Put up your hands. No fast moves. Come on out of there, both of you.
Oh, Bert, thank heavens you are here. Bert, what's happened to the house? Where's Mary? And where's my kids?
Watch him, Bert.
Ernie, Bert, what's the matter with you two guys? You were here on my wedding night. You, the both of you. You stood out here on the porch and you sang to us. Don't you remember?
I think I'd better be going.
Look, why don't you be a good kid? We'll take you in to see a doctor. Everything will be all right.
Bert, now listen to me. It's that fella there. He says he's an angel. He's tried to hypnotize me.
Don't make me use my nightstick.
Oh, Bert, I hate to do this, but...
Don't!
Run, George! Run, George!
Bert, you... Well, I'm taking you in anyway, little fella.
Help Joseph! Help!
Oh, shut up!
Oh, help me, Joseph! Help Joseph!
Where'd he go? I had him right here.
I need a drink.
Yeah, me too.
Bailey's boarding house.
Well?
Mother?
Mother? What do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Oh, Mother, Mother, please help me. Something terrible has happened to me. I don't know what it is. Something's happened to everybody. Please, let me come in. Keep me here until I get over it.
Get over what? I don't take in strangers unless they're sent here by someone I know.
I'm not a stranger. I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When'd you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
That's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
My mother. My own mother didn't even know me.
Strange, isn't it? One man's life touches so many others. And when he isn't around, he leaves a pretty big hole, doesn't he?
Look, you, I've heard of things like this before. You've got me under some kind of a spell. Well, I'll get out of it. I know how, too. The last man I talked to before all this stuff started happening to me was Martini.
You know where he lives?
Well, sure, I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park.
There's no Bailey Park if you weren't here to build it.
Oh, we'll see.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
Oh, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is... But this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses? This is a cemetery. And what's my brother Harry's name doing on that tombstone?
Your brother Harry Bailey broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie! Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died! Harry wasn't there to save them. Because you weren't there to save Harry! Don't you see, George? You really had a wonderful life. Can't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Clarence?
Yes, George.
Where's Mary?
Well, I can't.
I don't know how you know these things, but tell me, where is she? If you know where she is, tell me where my wife is. Please, Clarence, tell me where she is.
You're not going to like it, George.
Where is she?
She's an old maid. She never married.
Where's Mary? Where is she?
She's just about to close up the library. Oh, there must be some easier way for me to get my wings.
Mary? Is the library closed?
It's Christmas Eve. We can't stay open all night. The library is closed. Maybe you should try back the 26th.
Mary!
How do you know my name?
Mary, please! Don't do this to me. It's me, George. Don't you know me?
I don't know you.
You're Mary Hatch! You live on Reed Street. A white Victorian. Your bedroom is at the top of the stairs. You turn to the left. You have an older brother, Marty, and you live with your mother, Edwina.
How do you know all this? Stop it! Let me go!
Mary?
Get your hands off me! What are you, some kind of crazy man? I'll call the police.
The house you wished for. Don't you remember? Oh, you must. You're my wife. Mary, it's George. Don't you know me?
Who are you? Let me go!
Mary, please. Oh, don't do this to me. Please, Mary. Help me. Where are our kids?
What?
I need you, Mary. Help me, Mary.
Get away from me! Help! Help me!
Mary! It's George! Please! Mary!
You there! Stop in the name of the law! Come back here! Hey!
Clarence!
Come back here!
Clarence! Clarence, where are you? Help me, Clarence! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Only get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! Oh, please, God! Please, let me live again! Please, 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 God! Please, 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 please!
Hey, George! Is that you, George?
Now, you get out of here, Bert! You get out of here! You get any closer, I'll hit you again!
What in Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
You get out of here! George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you. Where you been?
Hey, Bert! Bert! I'm alive again!
You sure you're all right, George? Say, your mouth is bleeding.
We just... Ha! Ha! My mouth's bleeding! My mouth's bleeding! Oh, Suzu's petals! Suzu's petals! Where are they, Bert? Oh, what do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas to you, George!
Where's Mary? Mary!
Hey! George, where are you running to? Get this one car, I'll drive you!
Hello, Bedford Ball! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas,
Pony House! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Hey, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you!
Hello, Mr. Bank Examiner.
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000. Merry Christmas, Sheriff.
George, I've got a paper here.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? Looks like I'm going to jail. Mary, Mary. Oh, look at this wonderful little drafty house. Mary, have you seen my wife? Kids, Pete,
Daddy,
Tommy, Daddy. Janie, I could eat y'all. Where's your mother?
She's been looking for you with Uncle Billy.
Daddy.
Susu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Fine, Daddy. Not a smidge of temperature.
Not a smidge. Hallelujah.
Mommy's home.
Mary.
George, darling, where have you been? George.
Oh, Mary, let me touch you. Oh, you're real.
George.
You have no idea what has happened to me.
No idea what's happened either. Now, come on, George, quick. They're on their way.
Who's soldiers on their way. The police department, the FBI, the National Guard. I'm alive again, Mary. Listen, I am alive again.
Come on in here, Darno. You stand right over here by the tree and don't move. Don't move. I hear them now, George. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Come in, Uncle Billy. Everyone in here.
Isn't that wonderful? Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told a few people you were in trouble. They scattered all over town collecting money.
That's right.
They didn't ask any questions. Just said, if George is in trouble, you count on
That's
me.
Right.
You never saw anything like.
Hey, what is it, George? Another run on the bank? Here you go. Merry Christmas.
The light bulb to the right. Mr. Martini, step right up now.
Hey, I bought the jukebox, too.
Mr. Gower.
I made the rounds on all my charge accounts.
Violet?
I'm not going to go, George. I've changed my mind.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George. Here you go. $242.
Matilda?
I've been saving this money for a divorce, if I ever get a husband.
Here you go, George. Here's a little something for you to play with, too. Get up.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Right. Hey! Hey, quiet, everybody, quiet! A telegram from London.
Oh, London.
Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Sam Wainwright.
The squad car as quickly as I could. The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
George, you little son of a gun, how are you?
Oh, I'm much better now. It is so good to see you.
Harry, Harry, how about your banquet in Washington?
I left right in the middle of it, Mother, as soon as I got Mary's telegrams.
How about some wine?
Good idea. A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Sawyer.
Look, there's an inscription.
George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
What is that?
Oh, well, this is a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
WCCO presentation of It's a Wonderful Life, brought to you tonight by the St. Paul Hotel and sponsored by Spare Key, helping families bounce but not break. We sure hope you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast, and hey, everybody out there in Radioland, here's a tip for you from me, Corey Heppala. Make plans to visit the folks at the St. Paul Hotel for lunch or dinner and all the fun of one of the live performances of It's a Wonderful Life. Set your sights on 2022 and that Christmas season. It's like walking back in time for an old-fashioned 1940s Christmas celebration. The elegant St. Paul Hotel, your home for the holidays. Now remember, tell everybody you've ever met that this evening's show, this very one, is going to be rebroadcast on WCCO in its entirety again. And it'll be rebroadcast on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. It's Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. For all of us here in the Promenade Ballroom, the great cast and crew, our wonderful host, the St. Paul Hotel. Find folks at Spare Key, and you can find them at sparekey.org. And from all your friends here at News Talk 830 WCCO and the Columbia Broadcasting System, this is Corey Heppala saying good night from Bedford Falls. God bless, and Merry Christmas.